And now I invite you to pray with me and for me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence in this space and wherever we are online. Bring conviction to our hearts through your living word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives. All for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the season of Lent. And for many, Lent is viewed simply as the season, the few weeks leading to Easter, where Christians tend to give things up for various reasons. Sometimes for self-denial, sometimes to be healthier, sometimes to inspire them to pray more. We give things up for Lent. If you participated in one of our Ash Wednesday services, you heard our Anglican introduction to Lent. And I invite you to listen along as I walk through it. You should have grabbed an additional sheet of paper when you came in the front door along with your bulletin. If you didn't grab one, raise your hand. Mike in the middle has a couple and he'll bring you one. I see a bunch of hands coming up. So Mike and Mike will be bringing them around. So for now, this first part of this introduction to Lent, and if you're at home, it's on page 543 of your Book of Common Prayer. The first part of the introduction goes this way. Dear people of God, the first Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection, and it became the custom of the church to prepare for them by a season of penitence and fasting. So with great devotion, the early church observed Holy Week and Easter, the Lord's passion and then his resurrection. And so preparation for Holy Week with penitence and fasting, as it says here, was the practice through the season of Lent. And the preparatory time pictured here is 40 days long. Now, if you're like me, you've tried to figure out what are the 40 days between Lent and Easter, and it doesn't really add up. And that's because the 40 days doesn't count Sundays. Ash Wednesday to Holy Saturday, 40 days, not counting the Sundays. And we don't count the Sundays because that's a feast day. We receive Holy Communion, the Feast of Holy Communion. So when you think of 40 days of fasting, that kind of gives you a break every 7 days or so. We don't have to endure the full 40 days of fasting as Jesus did all at once. There's a little bit of a break there with the Sundays. Those 40 days, as I just mentioned, remembers what we heard in our gospel reading. Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. And I want to pause our journey through the introduction to Lent as we take a moment to reflect on our gospel reading. And you've got that in your service leaflet on page 5. Or if you're at home, turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark here records Jesus' baptism by John. In verse 10, it says, "And when Jesus came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove." And then verse 11, the Lord God Almighty audibly declares Jesus' identity. Verse 11, a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And then the Holy Spirit takes action. The Holy Spirit directs Jesus to what's next. The Spirit, just having descended on Jesus, takes action. Look at verse 12. The Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. So the Spirit drives Jesus to go into the Judean wilderness, which would have been a desert-like condition, very dry, arid, not much there, for 40 days. Now, this wasn't just a casual walk or a hike, because the Greek word translated to drive out literally means to cast out. Picture Jesus casting out a demon. There's a sense of violence in this word. The Spirit dragging Jesus into the wilderness, driving him out. There's a strong move of the Spirit. Then verse 13, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record Jesus' temptation. And on the back of your extra sheet, you've got Matthew and you've got Luke's accounting, both of them. Matthew notes that Jesus was led into the wilderness, and verse 2, Jesus fasted 40 days and nights, and he was hungry. Where in Luke, in verse 2, it says, he ate nothing. Luke's a little more specific. He ate nothing during those days. Now, this is the fast that our Lenten 40 days is to bring to remembrance, the total self-denial by Jesus. It wasn't simply Jesus giving up chocolate, or maybe in his day, giving up sweet figs, but it was 40 days of not eating, of fasting from all foods. And while he was fasting, being tempted by Satan. Now, I tend to read Matthew and Luke's accounts of the temptation the way they're written, that Jesus ate nothing for 40 days, and when they ended, then Satan appeared and asked him three questions. As I was preparing for this sermon, as I reflected on Mark's brief account, I saw that my understanding was most likely grossly mistaken. How many of you, I'm pretty sure most of you, have had to fast or have done without food for 24 or 48 hours, maybe preparing for a surgery or preparing for a procedure, or maybe it was just you just weren't able to eat for 24 or 48 hours. How did you feel? Yeah, you don't need to really answer that because we all don't feel well. I don't do well without food for much shorter periods of time. Lack of food impacts our ability to think, our ability to have patience, our ability to have compassion for others, our ability to respond to things and people and situations. I find that personally during those fasts, in addition to being irritable and in extraordinary discomfort, I'm always thinking about food. I find myself going to the cabinets or where food is, the fridge, only to, oh yeah, that's right, I can't eat. And then pretty soon I find subconsciously I'm circling back to food, even though I'm not supposed to have it. Now, with that in mind, think about Jesus. He's 2 days into his fast, 48 hours without food. Now, Jesus is fully divine, but he was also fully human. I imagine he's famished. Then 5 days. Now perhaps he's dizzy. He's not just feeling pangs of hunger, or he's not just hangry. He's painfully hungry. I imagine that all throughout those 40 days, not just at the end, Satan was tempting him. All throughout, I imagine, Jesus, you know, you could have bread. How many times a day Satan said, by the way, I know how you're feeling. You want some bread? You know, this could all be over. Just jump off the temple. The angels will rescue you. They'll take care of you. I imagine every day Satan tempted Jesus to give up, to let go of the mission that God the Father had given him. Every day tempting him, seeking to use Jesus' human weakness and his discomfort to tempt him away from God's mission and plan. I believe that truly entering into this season of Lent requires a proper understanding of Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness and Jesus' ability to fend off Satan's temptations. He didn't just respond with the right zinger or with a great quote. He responded with Holy Scripture. from the Hebrew scriptures, our Old Testament. He quoted scripture in the face of temptation to fend it off. So using my illustration, he would have been quoting scripture throughout those 40 days. What would it look like for the church if you and a significant portion of other members of this church and of the church worldwide entered into Lent truly fasting and praying, allowing ourselves to feel discomfort, and in our own temptations to quit fasting, to turn to the Lord and his scriptures with comfort and for comfort? How could that impact us as followers of Jesus? What could he unearth in us if we allowed him to do that? That's my hope for this church during this Lent. Now I want to continue our walk through the Anglican introduction, statement number 2. This season of Lent provided a time in which converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when those who, because of notorious sins, had been separated from the body of the faithful, they were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to the fellowship of the church. Now, these two statements of activity in the church are significant. It's easy to just read past them on Ash Wednesday. The church, together as a body, participates in two things: the preparation of new believers for baptism, instructing them in the faith, and the process of reconciliation and restoration of members who had been removed from the church because of notorious sins. This isn't just speeding. These are things that the whole church would have been aware of, and they would have been removed from the church because of. The church engaged in these two activities. Lent is not just a time to give up things. It's to be a special season for the body of the church, for spiritual instruction for new believers and for those who desire to grow in faith. It's a time for repentance and forgiveness of significant wounds and brokenness caused by notorious sins. Perhaps not against the church, perhaps just between one member and another, or between a member and a family member. We as the church should not ignore or overestimate the importance of these two activities. Now to the third statement. We then read, in this manner, the whole congregation was put in mind of the message of pardon and absolution set forth in the gospel of our Savior, and of the need that all Christians continually have to renew our repentance and faith. In this manner, so in the manner of penitence and fasting, in the manner of instructing new believers and those wishing to grow in the faith, in the manner of restoration and forgiveness of those with broken relationships with you or with the church, in that manner, we are reminded of the good news of the gospel. The message of pardon and absolution set forth in the gospel. Jesus died and rose from the dead to give pardon and absolution to all sin for those who would repent and turn to him. That's the good news of the gospel that we're to experience afresh and anew in the midst of the season of Lent. And we're reminded of the need that we all continually have to renew our repentance and faith. It's a reminder. This isn't a one and done. This is ongoing until we meet Jesus face to face at death. This is our invitation to the season of Lent. It's not simply a time to pray more as we give something up. It's to be a significant season of prayer, repentance, and reconciliation for those who follow Jesus. A yearly opportunity for renewal and for recalibration. And that brings us to the final statement, where the priest or clergy or leader declares, I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, to the observance of a holy Lent, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. So I therefore invite you, Church of the Redeemer, to the observance of a Holy Lent in the Anglican tradition, participating in some way, not just in one of these activities. We as the church are invited to engage in all of them. Self-examination and repentance, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving by reading and meditating on God's holy word. Now, all of these activities are important, and I hope you'll take time today or this week to reflect on what the Lord may be calling you to do in your Lenten observance in the areas of self-examination and repentance, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. But I want to close today with a particular encouragement with regard to the last activity, reading and meditating on God's holy word. I want to encourage you to set aside special time during this Lenten season to not just read God's word, but to be in the word. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, there are four ways that I mean this. 4 points. First, it's the Bible. I encourage you to be in a Bible that you can read and mark up and reflect on and maybe journal in. And for me, that's a paper Bible that I can open and a journal that I can do in. Now, some of you are more technologically savvy than I am. You may be able to use an online Bible and read and mark and journal. If you can do that, great. But however, I hope that you'll have a Bible in hand, in front of you, that you can dig into. So first, have a Bible, not just an online something on your phone. Second is set time aside. Now, how much time is going to vary from person to person, but I know that on different days, I need different amounts of time to quiet my head. There are some days I can read a whole chapter, and at the end of it, I don't remember at all what I read because whatever it was circling in my head absorbed my attention. I know you know what I'm talking about. Set aside time to be quiet with the Lord. Pray and ask Him to quiet your mind. Maybe write down the things that are distracting you. Lord, I'm setting these aside so I can focus on your word. Give Him the burdens in your head. One great way to begin is using one of my favorite collective prayers from the prayer book. It's from the second Sunday of Advent, and it's actually page 598. I got the page number wrong here. Listen to this prayer. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Have a Bible and then set aside time to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest. Thirdly, investigate and poke around. This is where a study Bible is helpful, and it could be an online study resource, but a Bible with cross-references and footnotes. Look at the scriptures that are connected to what you're reading that are back previously in the Bible or that are forward previously. Look at the footnotes. Investigate. Ask questions if a word grabs you. If something grabs you, look, seek out the original Greek using maybe an online resource. What did that really mean? That's what happened as I was just reading that brief account of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness from Mark. 3 short verses. I began to ask questions that I hadn't asked before as I just had read through it. Gosh, what would he have been thinking or feeling? What's it mean for the Spirit to drive him out? Investigate and poke around. Finally, fourthly, ask a question. Ask the Lord, what does he want you to take away from whatever it is you're reading? It could be 3 verses. It could be a chapter. Ask the Lord, what does he want you to leave with? It may be a new discovery. It may be confession and repentance. It may be a prompting to go and confess and repent to somebody else, to apologize or to forgive someone else. It may be memorization of something that grabbed you. And I don't want you to discount memorization. We can tend to roll our eyes. Oh, I'm not good at remembering things. What you need to keep in mind, when Jesus was at the end of his humanity, having not eaten for days upon days, weary, tired, uncomfortable, probably hangry, he responded to temptation and warded it off using Scripture. And you'll only be able to respond with Scripture if you've taken time to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it so that you have access to it. I hope in these remaining 36 days of Lent, you will observe with great devotion this season, and that your Lenten practices will lead you closer to the Lord, that they will bring healing to you and to your relationships, that you will reflect the good news of Jesus Christ to the world as you walk through the season of Lent. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.